When you come into the new year, basically you have two groups of people, generally speaking. I'm being general, okay? But generally speaking, you have the dreamers and you have the realists, all right? You have the dreamers and you have the realists, okay? Now, and you know who you are, don't you? You know who you are. Now, interesting thing. Do you know what happens with dreamers and realists? You know what happens? They get married. They do. And it creates an interesting dynamic, right? So as we come into the new year, here's how the dreamers talk about the new year. They say, this is my year. This is going to be a phenomenal year. We're going to go here and do that. And we're going to accomplish so much. It's going to be great. To which the realists say, you said that last year. You said that last year, right? Dreamers say this word they love. Dreamers love the word, wow. This is going to be amazing. Realists say, well, okay, how? How are we going to do that? So dreamers and realists just look at the new year differently. There's nothing right or wrong. It's just how we are wired, either as a dreamer or realist. But here's what I want to do as we begin the new year together. I want to take, whether you're dreamers or realists, I want to take how you see life. I want to kind of bring us all together and allow us to view the new year through a particular lens. And I believe as we look at this new year through this particular lens, whether you're a dreamer or whether you're a realist, I think it's a phenomenal way to look at the new year. And ultimately, here's where we're going today. Ultimately, you're going to walk away with a question today. And this question, I don't want to overhype it. I don't think I can overhype it, honestly. I'm not over-exaggerating it. This question has the potential to dramatically shape the year ahead, so much so that when you look back on December 31st, if you can figure out a way to hold on to this question and its accompanying answer, I believe when you look back on this year from December 31st to this point, I think you're going to see something powerful happen through this simple powerful question. Now, to get to that question, though, I have to bring all of us together with this particular lens of how to view the new year, whether you're a dreamer or whether you're a realist. And it's through the lens of what I'm calling possibility. It's through the lens of seeing the new year with immense and massive possibility. Okay? Now, let me talk to the dreamers and talk to the realists. Realists, let me talk to you for a second and tell you why this is important for you, okay? We, as the dreamers in the room, we appreciate your pushback. We appreciate your questions. But be really, really careful that you don't transition from a realist to a pessimist. You don't want to do that. Because pessimists don't get invited to parties, okay? They just don't, all right? So it's okay to be real. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to say how. But be really, really careful that you don't transition from a realist to a pessimist. Dreamers, it's okay to dream. It's okay to dream, but it's not okay to leave it as an illusion. You've got to help the realist in your life figure out, hey, I do have a couple of steps or three steps that I actually can make. I believe I can make this work. So dreamers, you need to have a plan. Realists, be really, really careful that you're not a pessimist. And the way that you do that is to believe in the power of possibility. And here's why possibility is so important. Possibility fuels the potential for a better future. Possibility fuels the potential for a better year. And possibility fuels the potential for a better you. In fact, think of it this way. If you look at most of the breakthroughs, whether it's in business or culture or organizations, typically you trace it back to someone or a group of people who actually believed it was possible. And when that small little group of people thought, you know what, I think it's possible, it fueled the potential of what they were called to do. But the opposite of this is true as well. If you don't believe it is possible, you are correct. If you don't believe it's possible, you are correct. So whatever you might think about the year ahead, if you think it's possible, that's great. If you don't think it's possible, you are correct. You choose. And so whether you're a dreamer or you're a realist, I want to challenge you today to view the year ahead through the lens of possibility. Now, let me give you a couple examples so that we're all on the same page. Let me give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. One of which, let me take you back to last year. Last year, for the church that I'm on staff at Gwinnett Church, it was a significant year. We moved into the new building that we currently have, and we did that on January 25th of last year. And, you know, when you move into a new location, I mean, every Sunday's important, but your first Sunday's really, really important. So we had been planning for this for a long time, and our team began to talk about what do we want to do, particularly as it relates to the adult worship gathering, what do we want to do to kind of launch our church in the new building? So our service programming team, led by Lauren Espy, came up with an amazing idea. They wanted to create a short film, and it basically cast the vision of what we're trying to do, to create a church that unchurched people love to attend. That's what we do at North Point. And so they had this idea of stretching a screen from one side of the stage to the other, like, looked like an IMAX theater. And they were going to write and produce this short film. And then halfway through the short film, at the very beginning of the service, the screen would drop. There would be a band behind it with a closing, with an opening music number. It was absolutely phenomenal. So when they presented this idea to me, I said, love it, love it, love it. I just have one idea. This idea had to deal with the fact that we needed to have a narrator for the short film. And I said, I know who we should get to be the narrator of our short film to launch our church. His name is Morgan Freeman. And that's what they did. They all laughed. Like, no. You know Morgan Freeman, right? I mean, Shawshank Redemption, the Dark Knight trilogy, The Electric Company. You know Morgan, right? And he's one of the most sought-after voiceover talents. And, hey, he's played God in two movies already. So, I mean, he's like perfect. Let's go after Morgan Freeman. But none of us know Morgan Freeman, okay? But here's what I thought. From what I've been told, all of us are just 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon of Footloose. So if we can just find Kevin, Kevin will get us to Morgan, right? And in my mind, I'm already on a first-name basis with these two guys, okay? So we actually go searching for Morgan Freeman to be the voiceover talent to help launch our church. So I call a friend of mine who's an independent filmmaker in Hollywood, and I tell him this idea, and he kind of laughs, and he said, okay, well, let me start making some calls. He goes, I don't know Morgan, and I don't know Kevin Bacon, but let me make some calls. So he starts making some calls. So one person calls this person. Long story short, we end up talking to a relative of Morgan Freeman's. And she agrees to go and approach him on our behalf. And so imagine that conversation, all right? Because there's this church in Atlanta, it's in Gwinnett County, you know, all that. So long story short, when he looked at his calendar and he looked at when we were launching, he couldn't figure out how to do it with our church calendar, to which I said, let's just delay the opening of the church, people. I mean, come on. This is Morgan Freeman, right? But anyway, my team said that's probably not a good idea. So we didn't get a no, but we got a no. So my friend calls me back. And he says, okay, so Morgan Freeman didn't work out, but I have another idea, and you're going to think this is kind of crazy. He goes, but there's a guy that when he swallows cold air, his voice sounds just like Morgan Freeman's. I said, what? He goes, yeah, there's a guy out there that when he swallows cold air, his voice sounds just like Morgan Freeman's. I said, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. I mean, I believe in possibility, but that's not possible. And he said, well, I know you would probably say that, so check your email. I said, what? He said, check your email. So he sent me a link to a YouTube video where a guy swallows cold air and he sounds just like Morgan Freeman. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Jeff, that's not possible. So turn your attention to the screens.
My name is not Morgan Freeman. My name is Boot Chowink. And for some reason, when I inhale cold air, my voice comes out exactly as Morgan Freeman's, which I'm going to demonstrate now with the monologue of Shawshank Redemption. If I take one big gulp, I can do it from beginning to end with the voice of Morgan Freeman. So bear with me. Rehabilitated? Well, now let me see. You know, I don't really have any idea what that means. To me, it's just a made-up word, a politician's word, so that young fellas like yourself can wear a shirt and tie and have a job.
Yeah. So we called that guy. And he couldn't do it either. Yeah, but he's amazing. Boot Chowink is amazing, all right? Incredibly gracious guy. But all that to say, why am I telling you that story? Well, the whole time this is playing out, guess what's happening to this really good idea that Lauren and the team came up with? It starts to get better and better and better and better, and they start editing the script, and it gets better and better. Why is it getting better? Because they're starting to realize it might be actually possible that Morgan Freeman's going to do this. It might actually be possible that a guy can swallow cold air that sounds like Morgan Freeman will do this. And that possibility made the idea even better. My point is this. Possibility fuels the potential to make ideas, good ideas, even better. That's the power of possibility, seeing things from the perspective of possibility. Now, that's kind of a silly example. Let me give you an example of two guys who've understood this, and these two guys that I'm about to show you have impacted your life both directly and indirectly. These two guys right here. These two gentlemen have had a direct impact on your life, both directly and indirectly. These two gentlemen are Wilbur and Orville Wright, the Wright brothers. And these guys, let me just tell you, this might be make you a little unsettling the next time you fly. These guys had no business trying to figure out how to fly. They had no technical training at all. You know what they were? They were bicycle shop owners, and their hobbies were watching birds and drawing pictures of birds. That's what they did. And then one day, as they were drawing a picture of a bird, one of the brothers turned to the other brother and said, "I think it's possible that we can harness the principles and dynamics that birds are harnessing and create something that man can cause mankind to fly." And if you've ever flown in a plane, you can trace it right back to these two gentlemen who believed in the power of possibility. And in his amazing book, The Wright Brothers by David McCullough, one of the best books I read last year, this is what he said. The fact that these guys had no business figuring this out. He said this, I love this in his book. He said, "In no way did any of this discourage or deter Wilbur and Orville Wright any more than the fact that they had no college education, no formal technical training, no experience working with anyone other than themselves, no friends in high places, no financial backers, no government subsidies, and little money of their own, or the entirely real possibility that at some point they could be killed." And they went for it anyway. In fact, the United States government paid a gentleman, Samuel Langley, $70,000 to try to figure out how to fly. He failed. The Wright brothers figured it out for less than $1,000. It's the power of possibility. Whether you're a dreamer or you're a realist, if you don't believe it's possible, you are correct. But possibility can fuel the potential for a better future, for a better year, for better you. So practically speaking, how do we apply this? Well, let me talk to the business people at all of our churches right now. Let me talk to you. I spent a number of years in the business world. So this coming week is the first full week, full business week of the year. And if you've got a team, here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to get your team together and talk about seeing the business this year through the lens of possibility. And here's what I would encourage you to share with your team tomorrow. Or this week, I think you should say this. Hey, this year in the business, we want to own a space in the land of possibility, and we want to lease a space in the land of reality. In other words, we want to, in our business this year, we want to live in the land of possibility, and we want to visit the land of reality. I'm not saying that you should deny reality if you're a business owner. I'm not saying you should deny reality of your business and the economic dynamics. But what I'm saying is as a leader, you need to define reality, but do not, as a business leader, let reality define you. Because businesses that break through do this. They live and own a space in the land of possibility, and they visit or lease a space in the land of reality. And business owners, business leaders, business people, let me ask you a question. As you look back on last year, was the opposite of this true for your business? Did you own a space in the land of reality and occasionally lease or visit a space in the land of possibility? But if you flip this week and tell your team that this was your idea, you've just been thinking, that's awesome, I love that. But if you would say, you know what, I want us to own a space this year in the land of possibility. And that's not just true for business. It's true for you in your personal life. And so here's how you make this actionable. You ask a simple question. This is a question that I think is helpful. The question is this: what do you think is possible for you in the new year? What do you think is possible for you in the new year? Do you think it's possible to take steps to make your financial situation so that you can take steps to be more financially free? Do you think that's possible for you? If you do, then you've taken a step forward. If you don't, you are correct. What do you think is possible for your marriage? Do you think it's possible for your marriage to get better? If you don't, then you are correct. What do you think is possible for your health? What do you think is possible for your life? What do you think is possible for your emotional life? What do you think is possible for your spiritual life? What do you think is possible in the new year? And if you, whether you're a dreamer or you're a realist, if you can begin to answer this question, it's a very, very helpful way to view the year ahead. I think this is a helpful question. And we could spend the remaining part of our time together talking about this question, but I don't want to do that. And the reason I don't want to talk about this question any longer is because there's a far greater question. And this is the question that I was alluding to earlier. This is the question when I said, there's a question I'm going to give you, and if you can hang on to this question and its accompanying answer from now until December 31st, I'm going to share with you how to do that. I'm telling you, I can't overhype this question. I can't over-exaggerate this question. And the reason it's such an important question isn't so much because of the what or the content of the question. The reason this question is so important is because of who is involved in the question. And here's a question I think can shape the trajectory of the year ahead, both individually and collectively as a gathering of churches. Here's the question. What does God think? What does God think is possible for you in the new year? What does God think is possible for you in the new year? Now, please, please, please don't miss this. What we're saying with this question is that the creator of the universe thinks something is possible for you. Don't miss that. The creator of the universe thinks something is possible for you. So let me get really, really personal. I see my friend Joy right there. Here's how Joy should ask this. What does God think is possible for Joy in the new year? I see my wife Wendy. What does God think is possible for Wendy in the new year? You need to spend some time on this question. But here's the thing. If you're here today and you would say, well, Jeff, this question doesn't apply to me because I don't believe in God. Well, first of all, I totally understand that. And if you're here today at any of our churches and you don't believe in God and you would say, you know what, this question doesn't apply to me, totally understand that. But first of all, let me just say this to you. We're thrilled that you're here. I mean, the fact that you would say, I don't believe in God, but you would still come to a church means that you're an incredibly open-minded person, which is a wonderful attribute for you to have. And so I may not say anything today that will convince you that there is a God, but here's, as an open-minded person, here's what I just want you to hear for just a moment. That maybe you've been told all of your life that you're supposed to believe in God, and you're supposed to believe in God, and you're supposed to believe in God. Here's what I want to tell you today. If you don't believe in God today, we totally respect that. But what we want you to hear from us today is while you may not believe in God, God believes in you. God believes in you. And maybe you've been told that that's not true. But I'm here to tell you today that is true. God believes in you. In you, and he thinks that there are things possible in your life. And you may walk away today going, I still don't believe in God, but I think when you see the answer to this question, here's what you might think. You might think, you know what, Jeff, I still don't believe, but if there is a God, I wish that God would be like the God that answered that question. Because when you see the answer to this question, and can carry the answer with you throughout this year, I'm telling you, folks, it has the potential to shape the trajectory from here to December 31st. Now, as some of you know, the scriptures say that with God, all things are possible, and I believe that. But I want to give you some specific answers to this question, really specific questions, specific answers to this question. So what does God think is possible for you in the new year? Specifically, here's a list of what God thinks is possible for you in the year ahead. God thinks love is possible. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And I don't know how you feel when you see this list. You might think, well, that's a nice, sweet list. Please understand, this isn't a nice, sweet list. This is a powerful list, and let me share with you why. For those of you that like to do New Year's resolutions, every single positive New Year's resolution can be pulled out of this right here. See, when it comes to New Year's resolution, the end game is trying to do something with your heart. If you can get the heart in line with your resolution, then everything else takes care of itself. For example, if your New Year's resolution is to take care of your finances, get in better financial shape, well, then what God thinks is possible is God thinks that he can generate self-control, faithfulness to be a better steward, patience in terms of your spending habit. God believes that's possible. God believes that's possible for you. Maybe you want to get back in health, back in shape physically. God believes self-control is possible. Or maybe there's an addiction or an appetite that's controlling you. God believes that self-control is possible for you. Or maybe worry and anxiety and depression are battering you. God believes that there can be joy and peace and love that's available to you. Maybe it's patient. You're just so impatient with the people in your life. God believes that patience can be possible for you. This is a staggering list of possibility that the people in your life will benefit from, including you. So let me share with you how God thinks this is possible. Because this list actually comes from a Bible verse in the New Testament, the book of Galatians. And Galatians chapter 5 says this. Galatians chapter 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit, five powerful words, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I love this part. Against such things, there is no law. But watch this. The reason God thinks this is possible is because of this right here, the fruit of the Spirit. You know what that means? Well, very simply, what that means is that what Jesus believes about you and what Jesus believes about me is that in a relationship with him, he can produce that. As we abide and walk with him daily, he can produce this kind of fruit in our lives. It's why at all of our churches, we're not here to lead you into a growing religion. We are here to lead you into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, because we believe, and Jesus promised this, that as you abide and stay connected in him, something powerful happens. That as you do this in the year ahead, what Jesus will do on December 31st is you and I will be able to look back and see the fruit that he has produced in our lives. Now, let me say it this way. Let me put the words back on the screen. Here's what I know about you. The people in your life want this for you. And the people in my life want this for me, because they are on the other side of us. And I'm a preacher's kid. I've been around Galatians chapter 5 all of my life. But a few months ago, this past fall, someone shared something with me about Galatians chapter 5 that changed how I viewed this year. Just changed it dramatically. So much so that when I was asked to speak on the first Sunday of the year, I said, I know exactly what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Galatians chapter 5 and how what happened to me this fall changed the perspective of how I viewed this verse and the year ahead. So this past fall, I went to go see our partnership church near Toronto, Connexus Church. Kerry Newhoff and Jeff Brody and the team are doing amazing things up there. And then I also went to see a friend of mine, Tim McCoy, who leads a network of churches in Canada. And so we were talking about the year ahead. This was back in the fall. And we were talking about, what are you going to do this new year? What goals do you have? And all that kind of stuff. And Tim said something to me about Galatians 5 that I'll never forget. And here I am talking about it. He said, Jeff, I've been doing something for the last 2 or 3 years that have been having a significant impact on my life. And he said, it has to do with the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. He said, what I've been doing is I've been selecting one of these and focused over the last 3 years, focused on one of them for the entire year. And he said, so for example, this year I've focused on love. I want to love people better. I want God to do something in my heart so that I just love people, even if they're for me or if they're against me. I want to love them, and I can't do that apart from Jesus. I want to be a better friend in terms of being a loving friend, spouse, father. And he says, as I see what God has done in my heart, to be focused on this one fruit, it's been absolutely phenomenal. And I was just blown away. And then he asked me this question. He said, look at the nine, Jeff. He said, look at the nine. And then he asked me this question. As you think of next year, which one? Which one? Which one should you focus on? That was a great question. And it's a question I want to present to you. As you see that list of nine, which one pops out to you? And here's the challenge. You might not know. That's why a couple of years ago, we asked you to ask this question to the people in your life. What's it like to be on the other side of me? Because you've never been on the other side of you. So to get to what which one you should focus in on in the year, here's what you need to do. Number one, if you're married, you need to ask your spouse. And they may give you more than one. Okay, but you say, the preacher said, just pick one, baby. Just pick one, all right? If you're not married, or if you are married, you should still do the second one. Ask a friend or friends. You should ask your small group. In fact, this week, when you meet with your small group, you should go around the room and say, which one are you focusing in on for the year, so that the group can hold you accountable. But ultimately, what you need to do is you need to ask God. Ask your spouse if you're married, ask friends, ask a group, ask God, and then see where the consensus is. Because these are the people in your life that are saying, of these nine, I think you should focus on this one. And so as you hear that, here's the homework assignment between now and next Sunday. I think this is really simple, okay? Number one, choose one. Just choose one. Choose one. Number two, come back next Sunday. You can do that. Come back next Sunday. And then number three, get in a group. Get in a group. We've got GroupLink coming up at all of our campuses soon, all of our churches. If you're not in a group, you need to get in a group. And if you are in a group this week, as I said earlier, you need to go around the group and go, which one, so that we can hold you accountable or cheer you on. So that if you say patience this week in April, your group can go, you know, you said patience, and here's what we're seeing with you. You said faithfulness. You said self-control. Here's what we're seeing. But here's the truth. If you're going to do this, it's going to lead you. It's going to lead you to an incredible, incredible place. Here's why. Since this is what God believes is possible for you, if you can figure this out, what's going to happen is this, is that if you'll take steps toward this, you are stepping toward a blessed pathway. Because God thinks this is possible. And as you take a step toward him, you take a step toward a blessed pathway. Now, you hear all that and you think, well, okay, Jeff, you're asking us to do this. Are you actually doing this? Or is this just preacher talk, you know? Or are you doing this? And if so, which one are you going to focus in on in the new year? I think that's a great question. So let me tell you which one I'm focusing in on, or the people in my life have said you need to focus in on, okay? And to do that, I have to be a little honest and vulnerable and transparent with you, okay? Just to let you know kind of what happened with me last year. Now, last year was a good year for me, but it was also a challenging year for me emotionally. And the reason for that is I turned 50 last year, okay? And you're going to hear this and you think, Jeff, this is so silly. Maybe it is. I don't know. But as my counselor tells me, Jeff, I can't help you if you keep saying, I know I shouldn't feel this way, okay? So 50 did a number on me, no pun intended. And I couldn't quite figure it out because 30 didn't bother me because I'm like, 30 times 2 is 60. I'll probably make it a 60, right? 40 didn't bother me that much because I thought, well, 40 times 2 is 80. I'll probably make it to 80. But do you know what 50 times 2 is? It's this right here. And this is pretty much how I looked most of the year last year, okay? And I don't know, there was something about 50 that just beat me up. I'm just being honest with you, okay? And so when I went to Toronto and came back, and I had this, I want to pick one. I asked my wife, I asked a small circle of friends, and I asked God, which one? Of which one of these nine should I pick and lean into? And here's what they said. They said, Jeff, we've noticed that there's an edge of sadness in you that we've never really seen before. There's an edge of depression, perhaps. There's an edge of burnout in you that's concerning. And so as people that love you and are for you, what we want to point you to and cheer you on and pray for you and hold you accountable toward is we want you in the year ahead to focus on the fruit of peace. That's the one. We want there to be peace in your soul. Now, what do you do with that? I mean, what does that even mean? I mean, am I going to like start wearing tie-dye t-shirts and listening to the Grateful Dead? I mean, what? I have no idea what that means, right? Am I going to start smoking a pipe, peace, you know, at every meeting? So what does that mean? Well, my wife, Wendy, gave me such a great word picture of this. And You have to understand, I'm already doing this, okay? I'm a few weeks into this. I'm ahead of you, all right? This is why I wanted to talk about this, because I'm in this with you. This message is one that I'm currently living, okay? And there's no bow to the end of the story because we're not at December 31st yet, okay? I'm currently living this message. So in these, as I've started this, I've had some really good days emotionally, and I've had some really challenging days emotionally. And in those challenging days, my wonderful wife has said this. This is such a great word for me, but it's really a great word for you. She said this. She said, Jeff, don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. You see, what I've felt like is that when I turned 50 is I felt like that my best days were behind me. That's what I feel like. And that really threw me for a loop. And so as I felt like my best days were behind me, Wendy would speak in these challenging days that I've had sometimes. Wendy has said, don't ever forget this. God's greatest plan for you, Jeff, is Jesus, period. God's greatest plan for you is Jesus. And when Jesus is your greatest plan, the best is always yet to come. And that's true for you as well. And here's the great news. If we're going to get to December 31st and have whatever one you choose, whatever one the people in your life say, that's the one. If we're going to get to December 31st, here's what we got to do. And this is such a great invitation. You've got to be desperate and dependent upon Jesus like ever before if any of this is going to happen. Because it's not going to happen because you're a really good person or you're really smart or really sharp. It's not going to happen naturally for you. You can get there to a little bit, but not to the extent that what Jesus can do. You're going to have to cling on to Jesus on a daily basis. And let me ask you a question. Does that mark your spiritual life? Or have you gotten really, really comfortable going through the religious motions? How desperate are you for Jesus? And what I've realized is if I'm going to get to December 31st and there's going to be this fruit or this tree of peace, it's only going to become by having me being laser focused and dependent on Jesus. Because Jesus, with Jesus, all things are possible. So if you're being wrecked by addiction right now and you need self-control, Jesus says it's possible. If your relationships are being wrecked right now because you're impatient and there's hatred in your heart, Jesus' love is possible. If worry and anxiety or depression are pushing you down and battering you, Jesus says, peace and joy are possible for you. Come to me. Do you believe that? Here's the question. What does God think is possible for you in the new year? Here's the answer. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what's possible for you. So choose one. Come back next Sunday. Share it with your group or get in a group. And let's go on a journey together to see what Jesus can do between now and December 31st. And if none of that convinces you, here's my final plea. I triple dog dare you. And if you're here today and you'd say, Jeff, I'm not sure about Jesus. Hey, you need to find one of our wonderful guest services volunteers and you need to let them tell you about Starting Point. You just need to come back next Sunday. Because Jesus believes in you. And it's not an accident that you're here today to see this.